I'm David Giard. Welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. Today, my guest is Olivier de Jong. Olivier, I hope I'm saying your name right. Am I?
Totally correct. So.
And you're coming to us from Amsterdam in the Netherlands, correct?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
What do you do there?
Well, basically, we work. So we don't have a lot of time. So we work on a startup and... Well, it's all fun and games here, so yeah, it's good. It's a good atmosphere to work in Amsterdam.
Uh-huh. What kind of work are you doing? What are you building?
We're building a new video conferencing platform, which originally was meant to be a web-based platform, but now we're also developing native apps because the technologies we use and an adaptation of those technologies of certain vendors is a bit slow, so we need to go native as well.
Oh, this is sort of a meeting app like Skype or GoToMeeting, something like that? Is that the idea?
Yeah, basically it is. But it's more like if you see Skype like WhatsApp, then we're more like a little bit of like a more professional version of it. Like Skype is usually used for, communication for you and your family or whatever, within businesses, of course, for... interdepartmental conversations. What we are doing is building a platform which you can basically customize for your needs. So instead of having like one channel, which is you, you can have multiple channels, which are basically rooms which you can configure for your needs. So you can have like one-on-one conversations where other people who come into your conversation automatically gets put in a virtual waiting room. You can have group meetings, but you also can have stuff like paid meetings. Essentially, within a few mouse clicks, you can basically create like something like an online customer support desk. And it's video conferencing first, so messaging, of course, it's in there, but we like to talk to people and make the web a little bit more personal again. So it's always better to speak to people than to chat to people.
Okay, so is it fair to say this is a bit of a more complex application that's designed for power users and for companies rather than just...
Power users, which range from, like the online yoga instructor who wants to get, paid for his yoga.
Ah, okay.
To, for instance, like more professional usage, like in Medcare or stuff like that. We here in Holland have quite some interest from... physicians, doctors who want to use it for talking to the patients.
Ah, okay. Tell me a little about the technology behind this. You mentioned there's a web app and you're developing some native apps. I assume that's for mobile platforms, right?
Yeah. Basically, if you look at the core of our application is built around WebRTC. I don't know if you're familiar with the technology. It's basically an open source library which enables browsers originally to do video conferencing, to communicate with each other. That's like the underlying technology. So you have stuff like signaling servers, which are basically written in stuff like Node.js. And you've got front ends, and the front ends can be like a web app, which is basically a JavaScript applications. And you can have native apps, which you basically put in front of them. So right now we're working with a lot of Node.js, Angular. Backend-wise, we also use a little bit of a LAMP environment. We're outfacing that right now. It's going to be totally JavaScript-based. And front-end-wise, we're now working with stuff like React Native for doing native applications. Desktop applications, we are working with Electron. Electron is basically Atom.io. They open source Electron, and big companies are already using it, and it's really nice to work with because you don't have to have a code base for every environment you're programming for. So that's basically quite cool.
Yeah, it sounds like you're a big JavaScript shop there. That's your part of the technology of choice.
Yeah, that's the technology of choice, and it's always funny to see that a language which got written in a week. got so popular like
that. It's taken over the world.
Yeah, it's ruling the world basically.
I noticed you said you're using Angular for your web app, but you're using React Native for some of the the native mobile stuff. Why are you not using like Ionic for something that's built on top of Angular?
Yeah, well, basically, like if you look at React Native, how the library works, it's really a native experience. And if you look at Ionic, it's more like a web view, which you basically build a shell around to run on a mobile device. So this is really native. And user experience is native. Like a user doesn't know that's like there's some JavaScript code running in the back. Basically, JavaScript code is used to run the native components of devices. For Android as well as iOS. Good part of it is like, you know, again, you have less code bases. So you can use React Native to target iOS and Android as well. So that's really nice.
Okay. And the backend is written in Node, it sounds like. Is
that right? It's Node.
Where are you hosting that?
I'm sorry?
Where are you hosting it?
Well, we're in Azure Cloud, of course. Of course. We moved over quite quickly when we had our first prototypes ready. We were in a German cloud provider, which we had problems with scaling, with availability. And we tried out Azure, and we were totally happy with it.
Okay.
Like from the start, because it was really easy to set up. We were thinking about a migration path, which probably would take like a month, and we were done within 2 days. So we were like, okay.
Oh, wow.
And we're still building on it. And really like, you know, the features that Azure is putting out there. Like we also use Redis Cache, and we also use it as a sub mechanism. And Azure provides that kind of services like within a mouse click. So that's really nice.
That is nice. I noticed you're using a lot of non-Microsoft technology, a lot of open source technologies like Redis, like the LAMP stack. Are you running this on Linux or on Windows?
It's all Linux. It's all open source. We really like open source house. So everything we use is basically MIT, if you look at licenses, and it's all open source. And we like to contribute a little bit back to the community as well, because, of course, when you do stuff like video conferencing, you always run into difficulties technology-wise, which you solve and, post it back again to the community. So, we're really like open source shop.
Tell me a little about the company and how you got started in this business.
Well, it's really funny. I've got like quite a track record as a programmer. Especially in web-based video conferencing apps, I'm from way back that Flash was like cool, you know?
Flash, yeah.
I progressed from there, and all of a sudden I was like not really annoyed, but like, hey, there's a lot of video conferencing solutions which like consumers can use. And businesses, they've got their own stack, and I was like, why is it possible to build something which is like in between? So I made my first prototype and went a little bit, you know, on the market with it, like, hey guys, what do you think of this? And as well, like regular consumers as businesses were really like, wow, this is kind of nice because I can configure stuff right now and I can do it within a few mouse clicks. This is cool. So that's how we got started. I started alone, and well, quite soon I've got like two friends of mine who got involved, Ramin and Igor, who are like two hell of a programmers. And the three of us are basically hacking away at it. We did our public beta. It's a really early beta in January. And we got a lot of feedback from users. And we now, we thought like we can continue with the old code base, but like let's revamp everything because, I mean, it's a product iteration, and in the end, it needs to be so easy to use that anybody can use it. Like anybody who can operate a tablet should be able to use Airwave, basically. So we're like doing that right now.
Okay. Are you getting any help from Microsoft?
Actually, we're in the BizSpark program, so yeah, they're helping us quite nice with everything which Microsoft offers us, mainly is Azure, but also like the whole Office suite and everything we use. And yeah, we're really, really happy with it. I mean, it felt like a warm bed to be like a little startup, and Microsoft's like, hey, join our program and try it out and tell us what you think about it. So that was really a warm welcome.
Oh, great. That's good to hear. Yeah. Are you, so where do you stand in the life cycle of this product? You said you've released a beta. When does it become version 1.0?
Yeah, version 1.0 is planned to be released, and we're certain that we're going to make deadlines here. So it's going to be the end of October, and that's going to be like our release candidate, which is going to be out there. And it's also going to be available on every device out there then. So we've got our desktop apps ready then, our native apps ready then. And yeah, basically it's like unified communications all of a sudden. So that's
very
cool.
Nice. Yeah. Any geographic limitations to this?
No, actually not, because we use WebRTC as it's meant, so it's like peer-to-peer technology, and peer-to-peer technology always means like shortest route. So if you're based in India, well, the network of Azure, of course, perform it enough. Basically, the signaling service is like, hey, talk to the client there in India and find your quickest route there. So no, there's no geographical problems out there. We are actually working now to take it a step further, because yeah, clients wanted, like, what can we do to record video, for instance. So we're now basically looking at MCUs, which we can use.
And sorry, MCUs are what?
Yeah, like basically, instead of doing peer-to-peer, you're standing in the middle, like being a gateway for the video. So instead of having a star network, we're having like a less of a star network. So we can have more streams at the same time. Right now, we kept it out at like 8 streams at the same time. But we want to be able in the near future to offer go like, hey, there's 20 streams, or even offer broadcast facilities, because yeah, people are asking for it. So yeah.
Is this your, is your first startup?
Yeah, well, basically, I did something with my brother. It was totally something different, more like a Groupon search thing, whatever. But yeah, it was not really like, we were late at the game, and well, it ended like a little candle which went like out. So this is basically the second one, and well, it's really like, I always say, like, if you do something you enjoy, and I like working with live communication, I like programming, let's put it together and make a viable business out of it.
So, very cool. What's been the biggest challenge so far with this business?
Well, of course, you've got like your technical limitations, which you have to work against. Then you're like, okay, we're like a really young company. So basically everything which revolves around, you know, communications, it's about credibility. So we're new at the game. So everybody's looking like, okay, you're new, you're small. So why would we outsource communications to you guys? And then you have to say like, oh, okay, we're like the middleman. We do peer-to-peer. We take, you know, privacy is really important to us and that kind of stuff. And basically also make sure that your solution always runs. So that's always like stuff you need to work against. Furthermore, we're a small team. We've got some volunteers included as well. And then it's always like, and that's more a personal thing, like finding the balance. I mean, you can work 24 hours a day if you want to, but then you tend to suffer a little bit from tunnel vision, I always say. And if you push it too much, then it's always like, your health starts to like, hey, dude, yeah, make it a little bit more easy, then it's better. So that balance thing is still something we really are struggling with. But
I'm struggling myself with that.
Yeah.
where can people find out more about your company?
Well, through our website, through Googling, that kind of stuff. We kept our initial release a little bit low profile. Like, we want users, but that, like the whole ocean of users, just to have a user base to test and to iterate with. And luckily we've got some really like power users in there who really like, we are in our beta program to name it, and they iterate with us and they say, okay, you guys, this is really good and this is not so good, I would do it this way. So that's how we work with our users. Once it's October, we're going to actively market our solution, of course, because it's our release candidate, and then we're fully confident to have something out there which actually really works very well.
Okay. Oh, can you share your homepage URL now?
Airwave.io. It's really okay. It's really small. It's like the Airwave. Basically, we thought of the name. It's really funny when people talk to each other with video conferencing. A lot of times, you see like people start to wave in the air.
I like it.
And the funny thing is, like, we're like communicating like right now, but we're actually sitting really close to each other, like
I
this.
Know, the world has shrunk.
World has shrunk, and it's really funny. I mean, if we had like a physical meeting, like an offline meeting, I wouldn't wave on the table like, "Hi, how are you?"
you might.
maybe. I don't know. But that's the Airwave, you always say, and that's where you can find us.
Excellent. Olivier, thank you so much for your time. It's been great talking with you.
My pleasure. Really great talking to you as well.